This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast for the Midsummer Show.
Proudly presented by Midsummer Festival 2012. Midsummer.org.au. Celebrating queer culture. The Midsummer Show on Joy 94.9.
Presented by Midsummer Festival 2012. Midsummer.org.au.
It's beautiful world. It's Shine on Joy 94.9. Someone else shining who joins me in the studio today. Oh, actually, before we do that, give it up for Taryn for the morning show and Tim for the Joy News. More Joy News this afternoon, around about 5:30, 6 o'clock. Paul Anthony with you. And as we do each and every year, probably for the last 3 years now, I've been able to get the CEO from Midsummer to come in and talk about how Midsummer went. Please welcome to Joy 94.9. He's always here, CEO of Midsummer, Adam Lowe.
Good afternoon, Paul. It does feel like I'm always here at the moment, but that's yes. A wonderful place to be, so thanks for having me.
It only seems like last year we were doing this.
We were doing this just last year.
We were.
And I haven't seen you for a long time.
No. So. Well, you've been gallivanting around Australia. Well, not Australia, well, the world, really.
That's right. I was overseas for 6 months of the last 12. The Rugby World Cup opening ceremony in New Zealand and the opening and closing ceremonies of the 12th Arab Games in Doha in Qatar. And the fantastic Midsummer 2012 festival here in Melbourne. Mm. That's been my last 9 months.
But you haven't been here that long, so I can't really put anything on you, can I?
What do you mean?
Oh, well, if there's something wrong, can't blame you. You weren't here.
Yeah, well, the buck stops here.
Yes, it does. Doesn't it? You're still responsible. So today, design for feedback of Midsummer. Midsummer goes for 3 weeks. How many years has it been running for?
24. Started in 1988.
Next year is the 25th year.
That's correct.
So it looks like, so let's hope you get it right by then, which I'm sure you will. Today is the day that you can call up right now, 1-300-569-949. Speak to David on the front desk, tell him what you'd like to talk about, but they can speak direct to you about any feedback about Midsummer.
Yep, anything you want to tell me. I'm here to listen and tell you what I think.
Good. And you can tell Adam.
Did we thank Ginny?
Well, just about to do that. Ginny has been doing the Midsummer Show, a first year for Joy 94.9, for the last 10 weeks.
That's right.
Every Monday, this time
slot. And I think
six or so
of them I was here with her, and that was great fun. So
yes.
She's amazing.
So it was basically each week you'd come in and talk about Midsummer stuff.
Yeah.
Basically.
This time of the day every Monday and talk for an hour about what's going on in the festival. I think we did it throughout December and January, so in the lead up and throughout. And yeah, it was great. Got a lot of artists in to talk about what they were doing and promo their stuff, which is, you know, one of our core objectives. And I hope everybody enjoyed listening to it and that it helped them find their way through what they would choose to go and see.
Now, we'd like your feedback on that show too, because if it was, I mean, get good feedback, we can do it again next year, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we intend to do it again next year.
Hmm.
We did it for the first time in this format this year. James Findlay did it of sorts in the year before. Mm. And, you know, it's strong. Also's got their own show. I know Chill Out's going to have their show. I think that's fantastic for community that all of these different, you know, groups get together, detours, and all these things come and have an opportunity to get some airtime and serve their constituents.
All we need now is the MQFF to have their own show and we'll be set.
Yes.
That'd be a good idea. All right. What are some of the things that people can call up and talk to you about today?
Oh, look. Well, if you break it down, you know, the carnival and tea dance, of course, is a big ticket item that a lot of people may wish to talk about. The stall, if you were a stall holder and the stall prices and the service and what you got out of it and how it went. If you're a punter, the drink sales. We added the wine sales this year to purchase wine to take back to your picnic blanket. Was that any good? Did it go well? Should we continue to do that? Last year we got a lot of complaints about the shade. Did we get the shade? Did we improve the shade at Birrarung Mar? I think Birrarung Mar is probably the single largest thing that people bang on about when it comes to carnival and whether or not the Birrarung Mar is the correct venue. And I think it is, because we get $150,000 worth of land higher, the hire of a venue for free from the City of Melbourne. We squeeze ourselves in there, and we're already, I reckon we're already, you know, getting close to 80% of the capacity of the venue. You know, it's the sort of thing where there's not a lot of other options, unless we take it out to Flemington or do something like that, which I don't think would be at all attractive for the event. So did we get the shade right? What about the performances? Was the security good? Did you find the proof of age tent okay and get your wristband? Did you attend the VIP tent? Was it good at T-Dance? How was Ricky Lee? Wasn't she fantastic? And I posted there on the Midsummer website this morning, you know, that Ricky Lee closed the T-Dance with Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. So sort of full circle there. The festival itself, there were 160 events. Was that too many? Was it not enough? The festival guide was changed format this year. What do you think? That's probably the second largest thing that I've heard a lot of anecdotal talk about in the street. We did do print publications. We just didn't do one, and we probably didn't communicate well around exactly how you should have expected to get the information from those print publications. What other things are there about it? Yarra Trams, the presence on Yarra Trams. It certainly makes me feel like I belong here in Melbourne as a gay man to see 75% of the Yarra Trams fleet carrying a Midsummer advertisement on the outside, a poster on the inside, and all those things that you can get at the ticket box. Hobson's Bay, the website, iPhone app. There's thousands of things to talk about. Pick up the phone if you have got a comment.
Yes, do that. Having a chat with CEO Adam Lowe. So today's the feedback session, the Midsummer Feedback Show, after 10 weeks of Midsummer shows and 3 weeks of the festival. Call now, 1300 569 949. If you don't want to call, you can SMS 0427 JOY 949. You can email onair@joy.org.au, or you can download the Joy app at joy.org.au. You are on Joy 94.9.
It's the perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
The Midsummer Show podcast.
Heard live on Joy 94.9 and presented by Midsummer Festival 2012.
Celebrating queer culture.
Joining me in the studio is the CEO of Midsummer, Adam Lowe, and myself, Paul Anthony. Adam, anyway, continue. Sorry.
Well, look, I think the carnival and tea dance is the area where I want to start the conversation in. It's the beginning of the festival. It kicks off everything. It's been in the opening position of the festival since the opening night was taken away after the 2007 last Fed Square opening.
Yes, and before that, the street party.
Years before that, the street party and the various bits and pieces. So we've tried to make carnival the massive opening celebration. Do we get it right? I think we do. I think over the last few years that we've been doing this, we've struggled to get really negative feedback. A lot of, we get a lot of rant at the office, people just brain dumping and ranting on about really nothing without any real constructive criticism from time to time. And, you know, people saying things like, oh, I'm never going there again because it's back at Birrarung Mar, you know, because there's no shade last year. Well, when you do a yearly event, to get one thing right and to get one thing wrong, you have to go a second year to fix
what was
the things that you got wrong. So,
what was the reason for changing from Alexander Gardens? Because it's been at a few sites, Alexander Gardens, Treasury Gardens, back to Alexander Gardens, now Birrarung Mar.
Yeah, well, the Treasury Gardens move, remember, was related specifically to the 2006 Commonwealth Games.
Right,
and that and the use of the Alexandra Gardens and the precinct there for Commonwealth Games reasons, and I think that Midsummer was moved into Treasury Gardens, and it was a terrible challenge to make that work. From what I've been able to read of the reports and the anecdotal information that I've received since I taken the job, the move to Birrarung Mar came around. Initially, the City of Melbourne asked us whether we would move to Birrarung Mar for the 2010 festival, and I said, well, no, we're not ready for that. We have no plan in place for how we might use Birrarung Mar, because the event's been in Alexandra Gardens for so long. And that's what we've been working towards this, keep it, consolidate everything, keep it stable, do the same thing to rebuild a bank balance. So the city said, okay, great, we'll leave it for another year and let you build a plan around how you'll use Birrarung Mar and what that will mean. And their reasons for asking us are twofold. Birrarung Mar was a significant investment by council and governments in specific specifically for the presentation of events, and that it is full of events throughout the year. Alexandra Gardens is a heritage listed, I think, ornamental garden rather than a purpose-built event site. And the damage that was occurring to trees and grass and things like that in Alexandra Gardens from not just Midsummer, but all of the manner of events that they were doing there. So they've taken an environmental management approach to Alexandra Gardens and capitalising on investment of the Birrarung Mar, and I think that's logical.
Much feedback since last year, because like the first time you moved to Birrarung Mar, people complaining about the shade, people complaining about the gravel floor, people complaining about Dulcie being put down the bottom. What's it been this year in comparison to the feedback? Now, when I say feedback, I just mean negative feedback. I mean, has there been, suggestions brought forward as well?
Yeah, well, look, I don't... not really. I personally haven't received a great deal. And I know you spoke to Monique last week in preparation for... looking at the weather feedback at midsummer.org, which we've been promoting for a while now, had received much. And no, nobody's really got off their bums to tell us anything that they did or didn't like. But what we certainly did, and what I'd be happy to listen to now is to see from year one to year two, we relocated that lower stage and put that in that much more natural amphitheatre area at the bottom of the grass. Alex Schoeffel and the team at Red Bennies did a fantastic job of curating entertainment on that stage throughout the day. Dolly Diamond took on Dulcie's Dog Show with great aplomb. I think, for me, that's a better location for that stage. Shading that amphitheatre is a bit of a challenge, but I think I've got a way to do it. I just need some more time and some more money. We certainly put more shade in on the upper terrace where the main stage was. I think there were 13 or 14 umbrellas up there. And one of the very first comments I had from somebody that I walked up there was how fantastic it was that there was shade there. So we did listen. It's clear that we listened. The BYO topic, we've remained BYO. We haven't been forced by any authority or regulatory situation or any choice by ourselves to can that. In fact, this year we sold wine in bottles, even though it's in glass, which contravenes.
What was the reason for doing that?
Well, I like the idea that carnival is a picnic in the park with friends, and you can sit on a picnic blanket, be civil, and have a glass of wine or a drink. You can bring your own drinks. We have a liquor licensing responsibility, and what we were able to license Midsummer to do was to provide that. It had to be unchilled wine, but we were able to sell ice with it, and you could take a 2-kilo bag of ice and stick the bottle in it and sit down on the picnic blanket, leave it for half an hour, watch a few shows, and then you had a cool bottle of wine.
So you are allowed to take your own alcohol?
Yeah, it's a BYO event if you so choose, but I insist, if you do bring your own, that you at least buy one at the bar, because buying one at the bar is how we're going to pay for the day. And that's if you want to enjoy the day and you don't want to pay a ticket price at the entry, buy a drink. Bring your own, by all means. Bring the cheese, bring the platter, bring the whole blanket. Do it all, but buy a drink at the bar.
1-300-569-949. You're cue to call. Have a chat to Adam direct. We're talking about Midsummer as a whole, not just the not just carnival, but the 3 weeks. Do you have any feedback? Do you have any suggestions for the year coming? It's 1-300-569-949.
The Midsummer Show podcast.
Heard live on Joy 94.9 and presented by Midsummer Festival 2012.
Celebrating queer culture.
Paul Anthony with you on the Midsummer Feedback Show. We do have CEO Adam Lowe in. Your chance to call 1-300-569-949, and we'll go to those calls in a second. Someone's new to Melbourne, Adam, and they'd like to know what is Midsummer? Can you explain it quickly?
Well, Midsummer is a 3-week celebration of queer arts and culture across 97 venues in 33 suburbs with 160 events in 2012 that kicks off in Birrarung Mar with the carnival and tea dance in the outdoor setting, picnic in the park and dance party in the evening, and then 3 weeks of fantastic queer arts and culture from spoken word, literature and poetry through to musicals, cabaret, contemporary dance, ballet, you name it, film, novel writing, readings by authors, and this year, of course, the After Homosexual, the conference and forum on gay rights issues, and the celebration of the 40th year of publication for Dennis Altman's book. It's a fantastic celebration of queer culture.
There you go. Get across to midsummer.org.au and you can find out more as well. You have to wait till next year until there's another one. Someone also says the jumping castle at Tea Dance was the best idea ever.
I know, I just wish I'd lubed it up on the inside.
Was that a Simon Patterson idea? Because I went to an event once that Simon did, I think it might have been the Greek and Gay Day or something, whatever, and there was a little jumping castle there as well.
I don't remember whose idea it was, but I wanted Dodgem cars and I ended up with a jumping castle, but it worked out well.
Oh, okay, let's go to the phone on 1300 569 949. Gordon, welcome to the Midsummer Feedback Show.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. You've got some feedback from Adam?
Yes. I'd just like to say I love Birrarung Mar. I think it's a great place. It's very easy to get into and from when you're leaving. And I love that. But the thing that I have a thing with, because I am there with Vintage Men, every year I've sort of asked them why they don't change the positioning of the tents around. They open them east to west all the time. Now, in the morning, you've got the sun belting in on you. If it's a hot day, when the sun's gone around and come to the west, it's coming in and belting through from the west. If the tents were opened north and south, you would have none of that. Everybody would be in shade all the time. I just can't understand why they face them east and west. I know it
will come down to the number of stalls that we could fit in if we went to that north-south configuration. It would reduce the number, I'm guessing.
Well, they're all the same shape, aren't they? They're all 3 metres by 3 metres.
They are, but if you open them north to south, we would only get 2 rows instead of 10.
You could have two long rows, though.
Yeah, but I still don't think we'd get as many stalls in. I'm very happy to do the drawing in the next year's planning and look at it.
I've been there many times and it's been just so bloody hot when the sun comes over in the afternoon and you're just standing there sweltering in the sun. It would be easier if you could work it, you know, it'd be marvellous.
Yep. Well, that is the only reason that I can say there would be for that configuration. It would come down to how many of them we could fit, and it's a simple exercise for us to do in the wonderful world of AutoCAD and just redraw it and put them out there and see how many we can fit. This year we had about 120 stalls.
Yeah.
Thanks. We will definitely do that with the planning this year and see if we can take that into account.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people were complaining about the sun, you know, even though it was only a cool day, the midsummer this year, but some days it's been well up in the 30s, you know.
Yeah, well, I have a problem with people in Australia who complain about the sun, and we've talked about that before. You know, my mother lathered... I'm a wranger. I'm as fair-skinned and freckled as possible.
Right. Yeah.
And my mother used to lather me in sunscreen, and I have an aversion to it, but I still have to wear it, because otherwise I'm going to get cancer. And we all live in this country. We know what it's like. So
that's right. Yep.
Be prepared for the sun or don't come.
But sometimes you can obviate a problem, you know. That is the thing.
Gordon, thanks for your call and thanks for your feedback.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
No worries. Gordon there talking about the different sizes, the different ways we put the tents.
For the stall holders,
For the stall holders.
Absolutely.
All right, your thoughts, 1300 569 949. Someone's message in saying, brilliant carnival day and tea dance. Pity about Katani Gardens due to the weather. Will this impact next year's After Pride get-together? I guess one thing we need to get straight is Pride March is a separate event from Midsummer, isn't it?
Yes, it's a premier event within Midsummer, and there are two organisations. There's Midsummer Festival Incorporated and Pride March Victoria Incorporated. They are two separate committees of management, and Lisa Watts is the chair of Midsummer Festival Incorporated's Committee of Management, and Brett Hayhoe is the chair of Pride March Victoria Incorporated. And they are both two separate community organisations that put on their own events. Yeah. And it happens that Pride March is traditionally, it's 17 years old this year and Midsummer is 24 years old. And Pride March has traditionally been executed on the first Sunday in February, which these days, Midsummer has grown from what was once a 1 week thing to a 2 week thing to a 3 week yeah. thing. And in 2007, Midsummer used to end with Carnival and Pride March was the week after that. Midsummer's big enough now to be 3 weeks long. We've removed the massive cost of that Fed Square opening and gone to Carnival as the opening night sort of function. And the Pride March event staged by Pride March Victoria is the closing event.
So if Pride March wanted, they could just have their Pride March in August, say.
They could do it whenever they wanted to, yeah.
So basically Midsummer has no input into what happens at Pride March?
None whatsoever.
No? Okay. Well, you can direct your feedback to Pride March there. Now, having said that...
And I'm happy to pass on anything that I hear today to Brett. Brett, we have a fantastic working relationship and we've deliberately tried to make it a closing event because of the community's benefit.
Pride March this year, unfortunately, after the march had finished, the wind stopped, the heavens opened and down came the rain and washed Perincy out. My understanding is that there wasn't that many there to attend. This no doubt would affect bar sales. If that was to happen at Carnival Day, how would that impact Midsummer?
Well, I was there for Pride March and I stayed till the end and I enjoyed some time in the rain as much as some time at the bar. If that happens at Midsummer... in exactly the same way that it happens to Pride March, it puts the entire year's operating budget at risk of a terrible loss. I can't speak for Pride March at the moment in any way, shape or form about whether they've been successful or not at the bar in terms of dollars. I know at Midsummer, here's the maths. We calculated enough stock, we purchased enough stock to have at the bar to allow one drink per person per hour in three bars. Two of those bars were operating for 6 hours. One of them was operating for 5 hours. That's 12, 17 hours. One drink per person, and we could have done a gross sales of over $220,000. We fell $100,000 short of that. We didn't quite make 60% of the bar sales that we could have on a day like Carnival was. If it rained and we lost the money, we would be,
you'd be screwed.
Gone.
Previous years, you've had venues run your bars. This year, you had yourself and volunteers. How did that work for you?
It worked fantastically well from the point of view that all of that money that we turned over at the bar came directly into Midsummer's bank account, and it came into Midsummer's bank account immediately. One of the reasons why
you were watching it. Were you on your iPhone?
Yeah, I was. very closely. And one of the reasons why is for those smaller... For the small businesses that are those bars, it's a significant amount of cash flow to cash flow an event so large in one hit. At the moment, with the loss of the Glasshouse, Midsummer has still not received money from 2011's bar sales. Because of the sheer size of the amount of money and the cash flow in small business, and the Glasshouse has since unfortunately gone bankrupt or closed or whatever, I'm not sure. So we missed out on the money that we got from, or that we should have been able to share in from their wonderful partnership with us at the 2011 festival.
Let's move along to some questions that have come in or some feedback that's come in. This one's from Tim. The layout carnival at Birung Ma was much better this year. Using the slope as a natural amphitheatre for the stage was great. Just on that, though, every time I looked at the stage, there wasn't anybody on it. Was that
which stage?
The smaller stage, the one down at the end of the slope. Do you not have continuous stuff on that stage, or did you have it timed?
It was timed. Yeah. Probably... around the speeches and the various bits and pieces, and Dog Show was on that stage, and the team from Red Bennies did a featured thing there. It was specific timings that we tried to fill.
Okay. Tea Dance at $35 to $50 price itself was out of Tim's range. He remembers when it was $5 entry. He understands cost increases, but that seems a little prohibitive, to be honest. Is it much? Well, to be honest, I've never paid for a Tea Dance ticket. But I don't remember it being $5. But how do you work out your price? Is it the talent that you have on the stage?
The way we're budgeting at Midsummer these days is very much taking each of the aspects of festival into its own cost centre. Some of those cost centres have revenue, some of them don't. And Carnival and Tea Dance are in fact about five different cost centres across the day, because we're looking at the three different bars as standalone cost centres for income and expenditure. We're looking at the free component of Carnival Day and everything that goes into making it free other than the bars in that area as another area with a government funding revenue stream from the City of Melbourne. And Tea Dance is a standalone area from its two cost centres, really. It's the bar and then all of the other bits and pieces that go to make up the site. And the ticket sales revenue goes against the site and infrastructure side of the expenses, and the bar sales revenue goes against the bar stock side of that cost centre.
Pre-sale tickets, what were they?
Pre-sale tickets were $35, and for the first time in the 3 or 4 years that we've now been running the online sales through midsummer.org.au, we've been able to significantly increase the pre-sale tickets from almost no pre-sale. I think in 2008 we'd sold one $20 ticket before the day, and we sold everything else on the day. This year we did, I could look it up here in a minute, we did probably 60% of the sales ahead of the day, which is much better for us as a management team, knowing that we're going into the day with an ability to pay the bills, rather than going into the day with no tickets sold and not knowing whether anybody's going to turn up or so on and so forth.
We're currently having a chat to the CEO of Midsummer, Adam Lowe, on the Midsummer Feedback Show. Call us now if you like, 1300 569 949. Your feedback or suggestions for next year, greatly appreciated.
Our line is open for your feedback. On air at joy.org.au.
The Midsummer Show, live on Joy 94.9 and via podcast for summer 2011/2012.
See midsummer.org.au for more details.
Are you a Joy member? Joy 94.9 is a community radio station dedicated to being a voice for the diverse gay and lesbian community of Melbourne and beyond. Without your support, we're simply not here. Support us now. Become a Joy member, 1300 JOY 949. You'll be supporting programs like Sci-Fi and Scream. Next week on Sci-Fi, your host Sonia hosts a very different Valentine's Day special on her 100th show. Embracing the aches and pains endured of the heart unwanted, rejected and cast upon. Sci-Fi and Scream, the Valentine's Day special this Tuesday, 10 p.m, February 14 at Joy 94.9 and available via podcast at joy.org.au. See joy.org.au for more information on all Joy events and broadcasts.
Miss any of your favourite shows? Check out our podcast on the Joy website, joy.org.au.
Paul Anthony with you on the Midsummer Feedback Show. It's coming rushing to an end. Shane's coming up with the afternoon show shortly. I do have CEO Adam Lowe in for a chat, and you can call on 1300 569 949. Adam, I think probably the most feedback I've heard was the guide this year, or the lack of the guide and the way that it was presented.
Yes. Okay. Well, there was no lack of a guide. There was a guide. There were four of them.
There was the lack of the guide that I enjoyed.
What we did this year was produce a poster planner that sort of gave you an indication of what events were in the festival and what time of the calendar they started, what point in the festival they started. And the idea behind that was to drive traffic to the website where it's... where we have the ability to place a lot more information about the shows, and you can buy tickets directly from midsummer.org.au. We replaced the standalone magazine-style guide this year with four different, what do you call them, lift-out kind of souvenir sort of wraparound products across the Southern Star publication. And what that was an attempt at doing was staggering the amount of information that we receive in the way of images and copy and all the information that we have to put into InDesign program and get laid up and get printed. We were trying to see if we could take what was a massive amount of work in one short spit and stretch it out over a month to alleviate the pressure on the staff and the team of people putting together the publication.
How did that work for you?
It didn't necessarily take away any of the work. It did mean that we were able to spread the work over a longer period of time. I think what we got wrong was the communication around the fact that those four publications were what you were going to need to get as your festival guide. And looking back at how they were produced, I think they missed, and we corrected this during the lead up. I think they lacked a matrix of what was on what day in one sort of solid list that you could kind of cross-reference your diary against. So by using the wonderful products of, you know, I think a Microsoft Word or something like that, we created our own matrix and made it available as a PDF from the website so that people could print that at home. We're trying to think about things from a triple bottom line perspective, making sure that we're financially successful and keeping costs low. And the guide publication is something that the media partner it's been the media partner's expense, and the revenue from advertising sales is their way of offsetting that cost. The social responsibility of making sure that people who don't necessarily have access to the internet or don't want access to the internet can still access printed word about the festival. And then the environmental aspect about trying to make sure that the paper and the you know, instead of doing 40,000 units of a product that will ultimately, you know, be thrown away, is there a different way we can do that? So trying to educate people to move towards the iPhone application and hopefully get that on other platforms in the coming years and move to the website and check the website and not need to rely on a piece of paper that's, you know, those sort of environmental.
Could you get impacts. One of those four guides without having to get Southern Star?
Yes, you could download them from the website and you could look at them in page flip view on Star Observer.
Will you be doing the same
Star
again
Online
next year?
We haven't made a decision yet. The discussion is many and varied, and I think, again, it comes down to if producing the paper product can cost us zero money from, although it does cost us money in distribution so far, if we can get rid of the cost of design, get rid of the cost of the layout and the work of setting it up, the work of printing it and the work of distributing it, and keep those costs at zero or less than $5,000 or $6,000 that they have been recently, there's no reason not to bring it back.
Ben had sent a message in as well saying lack of guide this year. So Ben, perhaps you could tell us, did you not hear about the guide? Did you not know the guide was a part of the four series? And perhaps you could offer some feedback to Adam. Adam, moving into 2013, you've got some ideas that you're going to put forward. You want ideas from the community as well?
2013 is the 25th anniversary of Midsummer Festival. For the last 18 months, I've been thinking about the fact that we celebrate our Silver Jubilee in 2013. In fact, I probably started thinking about it in 2009 when we were at one stage looking at trying to bid for the World Out Games and hosting a World Out Games in Melbourne for 2013, which didn't come off. And that was when I first went, it's the 25th anniversary that year. What are we going to do? So, I have a Word document on my desktop there somewhere that's been the note-taking space for ideas that I've had around that over the last 18 or more months. I definitely think we should do something special for the 25th anniversary. And I have my own ideas about what that can be. And I'd love to talk to the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. I'd love to talk to Melbourne Theatre Company. I'd love to talk to the Art Centre and start conversations now about taking Midsummer into a place where it's absolutely in the first-class arts industry area, because it's already got that reputation with those contemporaries and our colleagues in those organisations. We already have that.
I've heard a rumour, I don't know how true it is, but just around the grapevine, that you could be looking at two site locations for Midsummer Carnival next year.
Well, the idea occurs to me, and I was in Birrarung Mar with the Lord Mayor Robert Doyle filming a webisode that's available on the website that was about promoing this year's festival. It was that day that he shot his welcome message that we did on video this year as well, instead of in a printed page, moving ourselves into that online world. And he and I were talking about how big the festival is, how significant it is to Melbourne. And one of the things that I'd love to do is activate the river. Melburnians don't seem to do anything on the river. So, you know, this may not happen because it might, you know, we've booked all five lawns. We've booked three lawns, the three sites in Birrarung Mar, and we've booked the two sites in Alexandra Gardens because you have to book them 12 months in advance. By July, I will make a decision about whether or not we're able to do it.
How would you get people across?
Well, Parks Victoria, what the Lord Mayor was suggesting is that Parks Victoria could provide boats, shuttle boats, from one side of the river to the other, and we could turn those shuttle boats into some kind of live performance. There could be activity. We could put a barge on the river, activate the river. I'm not necessarily talking about getting in the river. I'm talking about activating it as a space upon which to do things, including travel from one side to the other. And perhaps there could be a music festival on one side and a stall holders and a picnic in the park on the other side. What ideas do people have? And if there are any sponsors out there with the money to come and help us do it, we're open to talking about it.
I like the idea, except for the fact that I think that when you go to Midsummer, a lot of people take their shade, their blankets, their dogs, their cats, whatever else they take, but basically, you know, they make themselves at home. I can't see them travelling from south side to north side. And in that respect, you might actually even develop a north side, south side thing for carnival. I wouldn't like to see that happening.
Well, I guess if we don't fit in the space, and this might not be something that we do in the 25th anniversary, because as I was saying earlier, I think we're about 80%. With 120,000 people this year and 100,000 in the first year, we're kind of, I would say, somewhere between 70 and 80% of the site is active. It's probably, it might be unwise to do anything about moving out of that space until we're at 110% of the capacity of Birrarung Mar. So
which
it could
is
be
bigger,
a few years off.
Birrarung Mar or Alexander
Gardens? Birrarung Mar is the larger of all of the options. But, it's just keeping options open in case wonderful ideas or large sums of money come falling into Midsummer's place. But look, at the worst case, all I would really like to see us do is deliver exactly the same carnival and tea dance layout that we've done this year, because I think this year was much improved. If we can do a little bit more to improve the shade on the amphitheatre, kind of with the small stage, and that's enough. I would celebrate the 25th anniversary in other ways, using the arts and cultural festival the remainder of the 3 weeks.
I can hear your colleague Simon Patterson ringing in the background, saying something like that carnival is not just Midsummer, it's a 3 week event. So before we finish up, if there's anyone that's got any feedback about the way that they attended events, the way they booked for events, did you like the events? Were the premier events premier? How do you choose your premier events?
Well, this year we had an artistic director choose the premier events against the platform of diversity, the artistic idea of celebrating diversity, trying to make sure that we celebrated premier events across as much of a diverse way as possible. And that person was Cara Dinley, and I think she did a fantastic job of pulling that program of premier events together. In the future, we will probably reduce the number of events, premier events. It might that's still up for grabs in the debriefs and the post-mortems that we do from this point forward. I certainly be interested in any feedback around the ticketing sales system at midsummer.org.au, how easy it is to buy a ticket. Do you like the fact that you can buy a ticket to multiple events? What feedback is there around the website?
Stevie T from Joy 94.9's message in, singing your praise, thinks you're a lovely man, so that's nice. Thanks for that, Stevie. Pete says, hi, I knew about the guide and I used it but found it annoying. I had to wait weeks to find out what was on. I had to keep flipping books to work out where we were going.
It was all on the website, though.
This meant that we didn't
ahead
go...
ahead of all of the magazines coming out. I think that's what we communicated badly.
This meant that we didn't go to all the things we wanted to do. We felt the new guide was a fail. Bring back the one book.
I don't think it's a fail. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's wrong. The choice is well worth discussing and well worth looking at how we can do it better the next time.
Cool. All right. 1-300-569-949. Your last chance now if you want to call up. We've only got a couple of minutes left before Shane will be coming in to take you in the afternoon show. You are on Joy 94.9.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast for the Midsummer Show.
Proudly presented by Midsummer Festival 2012. Midsummer.org.au.
Real Topics, Joy 94.9.
Adam, 2013, if people want to add feedback, because we're about to finish, we've only got 3 minutes left. It's gone so quick. We meet once a year, and look, it's already gone.
Yes, well, feedback at midsummer.org.au is where to send it.
And it'll be open all year.
And it's open all year round, and we don't go anywhere. We're here for it. You know, I'm going to write reports, and by April 5, I'll have done a financial audit on the financial year, and I'll be writing budgets for 2013. And
when do you actually sign off on a lot of things for Midsummer 2013?
It'll basically be signed away by the end of June.
Okay, so you've got till the end of June to offer your feedback, but not just feedback, but just maybe suggestions.
Ideas, yeah.
Ideas.
It's the 25th anniversary. What you know, I've tried to prompt ideas today by talking about maybe moving Carnival into two sides of the river. I don't know that it's going to work. I don't know that it's a good idea. It could be a really bad one. What I'm trying to do is prompt ideas. I want to hear what people think. Mm. Using feedback at midsummer.org.au to tell us your ideas. And somebody out there might have the best idea in the world, and we will find them and try to take their lead and go with their idea.
One of the other things that came through an email as well, saying that because there was no guide this year, or no big guide this year, the littler performances, or the performances that weren't, you know, I guess that weren't premier events, didn't get exposed.
I don't mean
much.
Not to take this seriously. We're taking it very seriously. We're looking at the box office turnover, the differences between box office in 2010, box office in 2011, and box office in 2012 across the festival to try and analyse whether or not the guide had a significant impact at the box office. We're absolutely looking at what we did and how it compares to what we've done in the past, and what therefore will be a appropriate way to do it in the future. And I would suggest my own personal instinct is that a single book guide will come back. It might not be the same size. It might be more like the Q magazine size kind of book. That's the sort of thing I'm thinking. Just make it a slightly bit smaller. Take out a bit of, try to make a little bit less paper. You know, it's all up for grabs, and it's being taken very seriously.
Do you have many people message you and say, that's it, they're not coming back to Midsummer?
I wouldn't call them many, and those that do are really kind of, they're the kind of people who, when you read the email, it's just a drivelling rant that I think, well, if you're going to just drivel and blah, 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 and end your paragraph with, I'm never coming back again, well, I'm not interested in reading that kind of feedback. And at the same time, when people phone the office and they're not prepared to put their name to their criticism, or they're not prepared to put their criticism into email because that'll identify them, buggy, I'm not interested.
For those that...
If you've got an idea, I want to be able to work with you. Beyond you telling me what that idea is, I want to be able to keep coming back to you and find out how I'm going with what you're suggesting. Am I doing it right?
For those that haven't sort of ranted but have gone for legitimate reasons, Sebastian suggests that maybe one way is to get in touch with those people to find out what went wrong, I guess, in that sense. Have you ever done that with people?
In what way? Communicating with... patrons, or
we do a different
type of survey. This year we're doing an economic impact study, and we're very conscious of trying not to barrage people with too many different surveys and different questions. But yes, we go about finding out what we can from event producers, people who buy tickets, and here I am on the radio for an hour today trying to find out what you think.
And having said that, Adam, we've run out of time. Shane is up next here at Joy 94.9, taking the afternoon show, and then I think followed by either Joe or Stevie T, I'm not sure. We need to thank David Moyle on the front desk handling all the calls and emails today, Conrad Brown and Jason G, who put all the promotion together for the show today, Monique back in the office, who has been having great email conversations with myself, and Adam, to you.
Thank you.
No worries.
Great pleasure to be here, and always a great pleasure to listen to what people think.
You can catch me tomorrow night, actually. In fact, filling in for Tim with Wes on the Tuesday Drive show. Heaps of guests coming in. You're on Joy 94.9.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast for the Midsummer Show.
Proudly presented by Midsummer Festival 2012. midsummer.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.